We are going to finish up our three-part series on the return of Jesus. And we're going to... We're going to get that done today. Hallelujah. We're on the third part, and we talked the first lesson about the difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus. Two separate events. And at least I believe they are. And we talked about the timing of those events and when they would occur on the prophetic timeline. And then last week we talked about events that are happening in the world right now, contemporary events that are occurring that are indicators we are nearing the time. You know, some of the great, I didn't mention it last week and I should have, but some of the great prophetic markers that the Bible really talks about is the return of Israel to a nation. Israel became a nation in 1948, and God prophesied, that was one of the great prophecies of the Bible, is that his people would return to the land. In 1967, and Israel reclaimed Jerusalem, East Jerusalem anyway, in the Temple Mount. And for the first time in almost 2,000 years, were able to come to the Temple Mount and pray. And the other great prophetic marker regarding Israel will be the rebuilding of the temple. And, you know, amazingly, not too many years ago, that wasn't even discussed. It couldn't even be talked about. But today they are talking about it. And there's plans being made for rebuilding the temple in Israel. And Ezekiel tells us that that will happen. So we're seeing right now these wonderful things taking place that indicate to us we are nearing, we don't know how long, we're not here to set a date, but that, you know, Jesus told us that we would see signs and we would know the season. And so I think we're seeing some of those signs, and I think we are in that season. How long that season lasts, we don't know the answer to that. The verse we've been reading every week, we'll read it again, that says, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. As Jesus was lifted up into the heavens after his resurrection, and the disciples were standing there looking, the angel came and said, 'Why are you just standing here? You know, he gave you a mandate, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You got stuff to do. But know this, this same Jesus that you just saw leave is coming back. And he will come back the same way you saw him go.'" And so that's our promise. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for these lessons. We thank you for teaching us. And Lord, we don't know everything. We don't. We can look at Scripture and we can put it together the best way we can. But Lord, you ultimately control all of this, and we know that. And we just put that in your hands, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about our timeline. I just want to go over that again, real quickly. You know, for the purpose of our study, we're putting the rapture at the beginning of the tribulation period, and I know everybody doesn't agree with that. Some of you here may not, but for the purpose of our study, we're putting it at the beginning of the tribulation period. Though some believe it will take place in the middle of the tribulation period, others believe it will take place at the end of the tribulation period, post-trib. And it doesn't really matter. You know, I lean toward pre-trib, and because of the feast, because of Daniel, but what he teaches in the book of Daniel, and because of the offerings, because of there's a lot of symbolism in the Old Testament, types and shadows that I think indicate, for me anyway, that the rapture is pre-trib, primarily because I believe the tribulation period is for the people of Israel. It is for the redemption of Israel. It is the restoration of Israel. It is God working with his people because of everything that is conspiring against them. And so anyway, I don't think it has to do with the church. But it's neither here nor there. It will happen when it happens. And if the rapture happens, you can imagine, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You can imagine millions of people being caught up out of the earth in a moment would create instant chaos in the earth. There's no question about that. The very next day would be so chaotic. And I believe some of that some of that will trigger the 7 years of tribulation. The world will instantly, not instantly, maybe it could be months or whatever, but at some point, the world will be thrown into this tribulation period. And the key thing that we will be talking about, that will be the thing that will kind of launch the whole 7 years of tribulation, will be the rise of the Antichrist. I told you last week that we were going to do we were going to go through the book of Revelation. Really, I'm going to do just kind of a boom, 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 boom. So buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. It's going to be fast. Fast and furious. So because I don't have a lot of time. I mean, how do you do the whole book of Revelation in 30 minutes? But that's what I'm going to try to do. And I'm going to just try to do it real quickly, just kind of bounce you through it and take you through it. And we've got, like, for example, when I did a thorough study on the book of Revelation, it took 20 weeks. So that's how, I mean, if you really delve into it, it takes a long time. But we don't have 20 weeks this morning, so we're just going to kind of bounce through it. The first thing that happens at the beginning of the tribulation period, you know, we talked about, if I go back to the timeline, you'll see on the timeline, you see the beginning of sorrows. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is basically about the tribulation period. And Jesus talks about the abomination of desolation, which takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. And then the remaining 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This is Daniel's 70th week. The 7 week, he says, a covenant of 1 week will be made. That covenant is made by the Antichrist. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation period are bad. I'm going to show you that. You don't want to be here. And it's going to be hard. And it's what Jesus called the Great Tribulation. He says, such as the world has never seen. And it is at the end of the 7 years of tribulation that the Battle of Armageddon takes place. And that brings back the return of Christ. That triggers the return of Christ. So what happens here at the beginning of sorrows is the seven seals. Seven seals are presented. And I want you to notice they are sealed up. God told Daniel to write in a book all these things that will happen. And then he told Daniel to seal up that book, that those things were not going to be released. I believe a lot of the things that Daniel sealed up were released in the book of Revelation. But he says, take these seals. These are things that are sealed up. But God is saying, I'm going to release them. So God is holding these things for a period of time in history. And we're approaching that period of time when these seals are going to be open. The first seal that is going to be opened is the coming of the Antichrist. Is that he says that he saw a rider on a white horse with a bow sent forth to conquer. This is not the rider on a white horse in Revelation chapter 19. That is the return of Jesus. But you will notice that Satan always does a counterfeit when it comes to the things of God. He always does. And so, you know, for example, the Bible talks about the eternal city of the New Jerusalem is four square. The Kaaba of Islam is four square, a place where demons are literally worshipped. And it's just a counterfeit to everything that God does. But the Antichrist will come to power. Now, I told you guys last week, and I've taught this for a long time. This is my belief. I personally believe the Antichrist will come out of Islam. I believe Islam is the counterfeit that Satan has created. In Islamic eschatology, they are looking for the return of their Mahdi. The Mahdi is the 12th Imam of Islam that will come and restore the caliphate of Islam. And you know, if you know history, you know that in times past, Islam controlled that whole region of the world. They basically control that whole region of the world today. All of the nations that surround Israel are Islamic. All of the nations in Ezekiel 38 that are listed that will attack Israel in the last days are Islamic. They're all Islamic. All the nations that are listed in the Bible that are enemies of Israel in the last days are today in the modern world Islamic nations. I believe out of Islam, the Antichrist will come. In his Islamic eschatology, the Mahdi will come, and with him will come a false prophet. They teach in Islam that the false prophet is Jesus, and that Jesus will return with the Islamic Mahdi, because in the Quran, they believe Jesus is a great prophet. He was not born of a virgin. He did not die on a cross. He was not resurrected. None of that happened. But he will return, and he will declare that Allah is God. They teach that he will break the cross, and he will make everybody bow down to Allah, and that they will turn to Allah. They really want a one world religion, and that's what the Antichrist and the false prophet are all about. I want you to see something. In Islamic eschatology, there are two that are coming: the Mahdi and the false and the prophet. They don't call him a false prophet, they call him the prophet. I want you to see that in the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation tells us two are coming: the beast and the false prophet. Folks, that's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that there's a beast and a false prophet, and in Islam, they tell us the Mahdi is coming with their prophet, and the prophet is Jesus. Well, we know the prophet that comes with the Mahdi is not Jesus, right? That can't be. That makes him a false prophet. Let me show you something. The verse that in chapter 6 that tells us about the coming of the Antichrist, Muhammad's Hadith Kabahabar confirms this. He says, I find the Mahdi recorded in the books of the prophets. For instance, the book of Revelation says, and I saw and behold a white horse, he that sat on him went forth conquering and to conquer. The very verse that we use to teach about the Antichrist, Islam uses that same verse to tell you that verse is the Mahdi, is a prophecy of the coming of the Mahdi. They use the same verse. Egyptian authors Muhammad bin whatever goes on to say, it is clear that this man is the Mahdi who will ride the white horse and judge by the Quran, and with whom will be men with marks of prostration on their foreheads, that the Antichrist will come and will cause everybody to bow prostrate to Allah, and that they will take over the world. They are using the same verses and openly saying, yeah, that's the Mahdi. He's coming. But Jesus warned us about this. And I want to read this verse in 2 Thessalonians and look at what Jesus said. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The lawless one is the Antichrist that is coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. He will come with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. And I want you to see that. The people who are going through the people who are victims of Antichrist are people who did not receive the love of the truth. People who have not received the gospel. Right? That shows you right there that these are unbelievers that are in the world. The rapture has occurred, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. There is a delusion coming. There is a deception coming. Right now, Islam is the darling religion of the world. It's an amazing thing that in circles that have accepted Islam, whereas right now Christianity is a lot of hostility to Christianity where there is not to Islam. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. By 2020 or 2025, it will be the largest religion in the world. Saudi Arabia spends over $100 billion a year to promote the message of Islam. By contrast, Southern Baptists spend $200 million a year on missions. $200 million. The Saudis are spending over $100 billion to promote Islam. They're outspending Christianity in unbelievable numbers to convert the world to Islam, and that's their purpose. But Jesus warned us about this, and I want you to look at this closely. He warned us about this false prophet that's going to show up and say, I'm Jesus. He said this is coming. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. He goes on to say, if you hear that I'm over here, or I'm over there, don't go and don't believe it, because that's not me. He was trying to tell the world there is a day coming when somebody's going to show up and say, I'm Jesus. And the world is going to be sucked into this deception that is coming. And this is going to set up the kingdom of the Antichrist. Daniel tells us he will form a consolidation of 10 kingdoms. I believe these will be 10 Islamic nations. I believe eventually Saudi Arabia and Iran and Syria and Jordan and Lebanon and Sudan. I believe these Islamic Turkey. I believe these Islamic nations are going to come together. They fight each other a lot. But there's a time when they're going to come together and they're going to form a coalition. And when they do that, the second seal is opened. And the Bible says the second seal is war. And there's going to be great war. Ezekiel talks about it. Zechariah talks about it. Joel talks about it. There's going to be great trouble. He says he hears troubling tidings, the Antichrist does, from the north. I believe Russia and China, as the Antichrist is consolidating his power over the Middle East. Why would Russia and China be concerned about somebody controlling the entire Middle East? Because of oil. And so I believe Russia and China will attack. There's a great war that takes place in the beginning of that 7-year period, and that's what it is. He said, I opened the third seal and I saw there would be famine. The Bible says that a loaf of bread will cost about a day's wage. So whatever you make in a day, that's what it'll take to buy a loaf of bread. There's inflation's going to run rampant. Money's not going to be worth much. There's going to be great famine all over the world. You know what people don't realize? People don't realize how fragile our ecosystem is. They don't understand how quickly it can go away. Y'all remember Katrina? In one day, we were thrown back 100 years. I remember standing in line outside a grocery store, waiting in line for handouts and to pay for what I could get. And they were only selling certain items. And I remember standing in that line thinking, Lord, this is amazing. In one day, we've gone back to, it was incredible. The system is fragile. If trucks ever stop running and things can't be transported and crops can't be produced, I'm telling you, things get bad and they get bad quick. And so it's much more fragile than we know. Because we walk in grocery stores every day and they're just full of stuff, we just don't realize how fragile that is and how quickly it could disappear. The other thing that will happen is death that will take place. And he says that there will be great death. Well, there's already been war, there's been famine, there's been the rise of the Antichrist. All these things are going to be the result of death, or death will be the result of all of those things that occur and take place. In fact, he says in the verse where the seal is open, and he said, saw the horse, the pale horse of death, says 1/4 of the earth's population will die. There's about 8 billion people, just shy of 8 billion people that live on the planet today. That's 2 billion people are going to die during the first part of the tribulation period. You hear that? 2 billion people are going to die because of war, disease, and famine that's going to take place. The fifth seal is martyrs. There will be many people who will be martyred for their faith. Once the Antichrist is in control and he is telling everybody to bow down to Islam to declare that Allah is God, if you profess Christ, you will die. It's not an accident. What do they do in Islam when they kill people? They behead them. It's not an accident that it says that those martyrs that cried out from the altar that were beheaded, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, they were beheaded. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. That's how Islam kills people. And the book of Revelation says those who were beheaded for the sake of Christ. It's already happening in the world, but it's coming on a larger scale. The sixth seal that's going to take place is natural disasters. We're already seeing things ramped up in the world. They're telling us now we have more earthquakes every day than we've ever had before around the world. You can go to the earthquake sites, and on any given day, there's numerous earthquakes, 4 and 5 on the Richter scale, and 6 that occur all over the world. You see, they show the spots. It's happening every day. The world is literally shaking. There's always been earthquakes, but they're increasing in number. Natural disasters are increasing in number. And then the last seal is open. When the last seal is opened, it releases the trumpet judgments. There are seven trumpets that are going to sound. And remember, we're in the beginning of sorrows. We're in the first part of the tribulation period. And these trumpets are going to sound. And when they do, they're going to release more judgment. Is everybody still with me? Have I lost you? Okay. All right, so let's quickly look at the trumpets. I'm just going to go through them real quick. The first trumpet, the Bible says, brings fire and ice. This might be electric storms, because that's one of the results of electric storms is ice and lightning. Mingled with blood, that would be death. It destroys a third of the vegetation on the earth. A third of the earth's vegetation is destroyed by these storms. The second trumpet is a mountain burning with fire, maybe a volcano that erupts. It destroys a third of the sea life. Then the third trumpet is a great star, a meteor. It's called wormwood in the Bible, that falls on the earth, and it poisons the fresh water supply of the earth. The fourth trumpet is darkness on the earth. That would be a result of all the previous trumpets, of the volcanic ash and the meteor hitting the earth. There's going to be darkness on the earth. The fifth trumpet, demons are released to torment the earth. The Bible says the demons are released and they go to the kings and leaders of the earth and they mislead them and they beguile them and they bring delusion to them. And then the sixth trumpet, when the sixth trumpet is, the four angels or four demons that are released from the river Euphrates that have been bound since the beginning of time, they bring about a massive world war that kills a third of the earth's population. So if we had 8 billion people, 2 billion are dead. Now we have a war that kills a third of the 6 billion. That's another 2 billion. Half the world's population is gone. Gone. So just in a 7-year window, these things begin to happen. And I love the seventh trumpet, though, because the seventh trumpet starts bringing us to the end of all of this. The seventh trumpet sounds, and it says a mighty angel stands up and shouts, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ." Amen. That is so awesome. And God is announcing, that world down there is mine, and I'm coming to claim it, and I'm coming to take over. And that announcement is made by the release of that trumpet. Then Daniel says he will confirm a covenant of many in 1 week. That's the 7-year window. But in the middle of the week, he will bring an end to sacrifice and offering on the wings of abominations. Shall one be made desolate even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. All that's saying is that in the middle of the tribulation period, and Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 24, the Antichrist will march into Jerusalem and he will set up his throne and his kingdom. He will declare himself to be God, and he will tell the world he wants to be worshiped, which Islam will now have a problem with. This is where he turns on the woman, the great whore, Mystery Babylon, and he tells the world he wants to be worshiped, and everything starts to unravel. He sets himself up as God. He stops all the worship in the temple, and he begins to institute a one world government and a one world religion. I mean, he is in the process of taking over the world. Now, this does not mean, by the way, that he is controlling every corner of the world or every little thing. But it does mean that his reach is vast and that he has much power. And one of the things that he will institute, you've all heard of it, during this period of time, we are now, remember our timeline, we're now in the Great Tribulation. He will introduce the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is where everyone must take a mark to bow down and worship, or they cannot buy or sell or trade. You cannot be a part of the world system, of their system, if you don't participate and if you don't take that mark. And there's a lot of conjecture about what the mark is. You know, might it be a chip in your hand, or you know, all the different things that it might be. And we don't know. You know, it could be any number of things. We live in a technological time when a lot of different theories could be administered and done that maybe, you know, 100 years ago they couldn't be. I want to share with you one thought that Waleed Shubat had. He is a former Palestinian terrorist that was saved and came to Jesus. And he too is a big believer that Islam will be the last day vehicle of the Antichrist. And he has a theory about the mark of the beast that's interesting. I'm just going to share it with you real quick. And I don't know this is it, but it's just, it is interesting. And I just want to share this with you. The two things that you see here are at the top is written out in Arabic, means in the name of Allah. And what you see underneath in the name of Allah, the next, is from the Greek Vatanicus, is the exact handwritten Greek of the number 666. And I want you to notice how similar they are. They look exactly alike. Waleed Shubat has a theory that when God was showing John in the book of Revelation, he says, this is the mark. This is the mark of the beast. And John saw it. He wrote it as he saw it. But when the translators were translating into the Latin, from Greek and into the Latin, they saw this and it looked like 666 to them. And they wrote 666, when actually the mark of the beast is in the name of Allah. The Bible says the number of his name, the word number in the Greek literally means multitude. It's translated number. So we say everybody's going to have a number. But the word in the Greek is multitude. Let me show you the multitude of the mark of the beast. So was he talking about a number or was he talking about a people? And he said this mark, if that is the mark, and again, this is a theory, but it's an interesting one. Notice that it's worn on the forehead, that everybody that worships Allah and everybody that's a part of Islam has to wear in the name of Allah on their foreheads. And also the Bible says they wear it on their right arm or on their right hand. So in Islam, you wear that mark on your arm, on your hand, or on your forehead. And that's exactly what the book of Revelation says they will do. That's a theory, but it is an interesting one. And I just wanted to make you aware of it. The next thing we come to in the Great Tribulation, winding everything down, is the bowls of wrath. And the bowls of wrath are poured out on the earth. And this is the first time that God's judgment is really released on the earth. This is direct divine intervention. That God is releasing his judgment. And the first thing that will happen is sores will come all over the bodies of people to torment them. The next thing that will happen is the sea will turn to blood. It says that all the life of the sea will be destroyed. So all the food that is harvested from the oceans will be gone. The next thing that will happen is the fresh water will be turned to blood. So all of that's gone. There's no longer a fresh water supply. The next thing has happened is the fourth bowl is men will be scorched. The heat on the earth will be almost unbearable. So that's when we're going to really have climate problems, is when that happens. The fifth bowl is darkness and pain. There'll be darkness on the earth and people will be tormented. The sixth bowl is more demons are released in the earth. The seventh bowl is the earth is shaken. And when the earth is shaken, the angel rises up and cries. And I want you to listen to this. In the 17th and 18th chapters of, it takes two chapters of Revelation to talk about a significant event that Babylon has fallen. And all of heaven is rejoicing. And I want you to see this. All of heaven is rejoicing that Babylon has fallen. I mean, it's a big event in heaven because the angels are, I mean, it's they're rejoicing. Babylon has fallen. I want you to see this, though. Heaven is rejoicing that Babylon has fallen and the earth is weeping. I want to say that again because I want you to get it. Heaven is rejoicing that Babylon has fallen and the earth is weeping. It says all the people of the earth are mourning. All the kings of the earth are weeping. The whole world is weeping. It shows you how far we are away from what heaven sees. We don't see what heaven sees. We think Babylon is good. We think Babylon is good because of money, because of wealth, because of things, because of stuff. And we're caught up in a world system that is corrupting us. I'm just telling you. And heaven looks at it and it stinks. But we're caught up in it and we don't see what heaven sees. But they announce that it's coming down, and that it's that mystery Babylon and all this and the great whore and all that's coming down. The Kaaba, or Kaaba, in Mecca is where they gather to worship. And this goes back way before Muhammad. If you understand the origins of Islam, they used to worship the moon god. That's where the crescent comes from. And before they worshiped 360 different gods at the Kaaba. 360 gods at the Kaaba. All of the ancient gods of Greece and Rome were worshipped there, but they were worshipped by different names. Aphrodite and all the, it all started here. There's a reason the book of Revelation says that when Babylon fell, it had become the seat of demons. It was the seat of demons. And I personally believe, it's what I believe, this is the seat of demons in the earth. They come to the Kaaba and they, if you look at the very bottom, you see it marked out. That's the black stone that they rub. They rub the black stone. They've been doing that for hundreds of years. They rub and they worship that black stone. One of the gods that they worship at the black stone is Shiva. And if Shiva don't fit the description of the mother of harlots in the book of Revelation, I don't know what does. And this is one of the main gods that is worshipped. And they will not tell you this. This is not, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. These demons are worshipped. And this mother of harlots, this is where it's worshipped. Y'all all heard of CERN? Do you know at the campus of CERN in Switzerland, they have this statue, which is a statue of Shiva. They have several of them on the campus there. Why do they have statues of demons in a place like that? It makes you just wonder what they're really trying to do there. It's just weird to me. But all of this, and let's bring this to a close, all of this is going to bring about a massive war. And the Bible says that all the nations of the earth will gather against Jerusalem and that they will come up against her. Joel says, the armies of the earth gather, and it's unlike anything you've ever seen. And the Antichrist is going to bring his armies against Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be surrounded. I stood in Megiddo, the ruins of Megiddo, and I looked at the valley of Megiddo where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. It's an ancient road that runs from the Mediterranean Sea to Jerusalem, and it goes from west to east. It's an ancient road that Roman armies and Greek armies and Arab armies used throughout history as they marched to Jerusalem. And this is the same path that's going to be used. And I stood there and I looked in that down into that valley from the heights of Megiddo, and I thought, Lord, that day is coming when this valley is going to be filled with the armies of the world. But then I remember that he will come from the east as lightning. And I turned back to the east and I stood there and I looked up. In fact, I even took a picture of the eastern sky. I should have brought it. I took a picture of the sky and I thought, that's the sky, that right there. Because the Bible says he will come out of the east as lightning. And those armies marching through that valley toward Jerusalem are going to look up. And up in that sky out of the east, they're going to see Jesus coming with his army. I'll get it in a minute. And the Bible says, and I looked and I saw a rider on a white horse, and he had on his head many crowns, and he had a name written which no one knew but he himself. And he was called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His eyes were as flaming fire, and out of his mouth went a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations. And his face was as the sun shining in its strength. And behind him were all the armies in heaven clothed in linen, white and clean. I believe that's us. That's the saints of God that are returning. And Joel said, this army came down to the Mount of Olives. And he said, they marched and they could not die. And they did not break ranks, and they never fell on the sword, and they scaled the walls of Jerusalem and won a mighty victory. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Our Savior's coming back to literally touch planet Earth. Amen? Amen. And Right there on the Temple Mount is the Dome of the Rock. Right there on the Temple Mount is the Dome of the Rock. Now, was the temple this way or that way, or was it in the exact spot? We don't know. But it was in that proximity, in that area. And right there, written on the walls of the Dome of the Rock, are the words, God has no son. And I'm telling you, the Son of God's going to ride up on that mount, that Temple Mount, on his white steed and stallion. And he's going to stand there, and the Son of God, the Son of God, will be there for all the world to see. And the Bible says every eye will see him, every tribe, every nation, all the world will know that Jesus has returned. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. So the next time I announce I'm doing a study on the book of Revelation, and you're like, oh, I want to hear more about all that, you need to get in on that, because we just went through the whole book real fast. Let's stand together.